beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
To bring blessing, to bring strength, to bring encouragement, to bring understanding to all those that will listen today and those who will hereafter, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says he sent his word and his word healed them, delivering from their destructions. I pray, Father, this word today will deliver us from our ignorance. It will deliver us from whatever the enemy is orchestrating against us, in the name of Jesus. We declare and lift up the name of Jesus against every problem that anyone is going through. Father, let there be breakthroughs, even as I speak today, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. Breathe upon your word. Let the name of Jesus be magnified. I thank you, my Father. Thank for all our brethren who will be listening. I commit them to your hands, O God, that you will be glorified in their lives. Once again, I thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, we are prayed. Amen and amen. Once again, I wish to welcome you to this session of Tuesday Diocese. I thank God for every one of us listening and those who will listen and hear later on. God has been good to us, and I trust that he will continue to be good in the name of Jesus. Last week and past weeks, we've been talking about knowing the enemies of our warfare. Please do not forget where we started off from. We started off from the perspective and from the premise that the kingdom of God is an invading force. The kingdom of God is coming in into the earth. Jesus, that was what Jesus spent all his life preaching. It's so interesting that many ministers have lost sight of this, and they thought that the gospel is basically about preaching salvation alone. They forget that it goes beyond preaching salvation. The kingdom, the gospel, the purpose of the gospel is to enforce, is to colonize the nations of the earth and subdue them and compel them to do the will of our Father. And we are part of that invading force. Immediately we are signed, or the day we agreed to follow Jesus, we were grafted into the army. Remember the parable that Jesus gave of the kingdom. He said it's like a servant, like a man who went out to go and, you know, get people to walk in his vineyard. The Bible said that while he came in the first hour, he saw some people. He said, go and walk in my vineyard, I'll pay you money. He came in the second hour, he found people, say, I'll come out. And that was how he did until he got to the 11th hour. He was recruiting people into his vineyard. So you are not saved to come and sit down and enjoy the goodies of the church or the goodies of the kingdom. You are saved to be part of the workers of the vineyard. Praise the Lord. And so for that reason, you must understand that we are part of an invading army. And that army must complete its assignment if Jesus must come back. You know, a few days ago, I was talking with somebody, and we were talking about rapture. I said, listen, you can't be talking about rapture when this assignment has not been completed. People fail to see that God has an agenda. They think that we are God's agenda. They forget that we are a means to an end. Praise the Lord. And you may not like that, but that's the truth. We are a means to an end. Paul said, I was apprehended so that I could apprehend for what I was apprehended for. Do you understand that? That means that Jesus saved him to go and accomplish what he was saved for. Praise God. So he just didn't save him for saving's sake. He saved him for a particular purpose. And I pray that we will not be purposeless people in the name of Jesus. I'm trusting God that the church will come into this realization, and we'll begin to realign our operations and our belief systems to follow what God wants us to know and to do in the name of Jesus. So as I said before, we're talking about the invasion of the kingdom and the enemies we are going to confront. Paul spoke about it when he began to write. Interestingly, he had to write in his epistles, he said a lot, but we took off from Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 10, where he said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That was a direct revelation and a direct speech from God to the church. And so we took it from there. We began to understand the hierarchies of these demonic forces. And so from there, I began to explain to us that Some of us, you know, Satan fights us at different levels. He fights us at our personal level. People, every one of us, especially those of us who came from Africa, we have family demons and family problems. You know that a lot. And that is basically the work of these fallen angels. And then we moved on to talk about the activities, you know, in the churches. I've been spending the past 2 weeks talking about satanic activities in the churches. And that's what I'll be continuing today. And by God's grace, I will now hope to let us look at his activities at the global level, especially his operations in the nations, so that we can be properly educated to pray pray well. Many of us, and we don't understand the way these people, these entities operate. We don't understand the way they fight. And so our prayers have been so ineffective and against them, simply for that reason. And so we will look at how this entity fights us at different levels, and how they fight at national levels, and why, and the kind of rules we have to play in tilting the destinies of nations, especially ours. You know, I was telling people, look, when you talk about Nigeria changing, Nigeria becoming like US and all that, I just look at people and I laugh. Because, you know, there was a brother who was saying that God raised up to raise leaders for Nigeria. And I looked at him and I laughed. I said, you are wasting your time. This is not how to go about solving the problem of this country. And he was not pleased with that, because in one sentence I've made all his efforts, obsolete, or rather invalid. Look, the best way to solve the problem of this nation is to destroy the princes that operate over this nation, and accept the church leadership. And I speak about the church leadership. I talk about all of us begin to understand what and how that warfare ought to be fought. We'll just be parabolating here in this country and will not get anything out of it. Praise the Lord. Now, having said that, I want to quickly jump into, again, these activities in the churches. I've spoken a little about what he did in the Corinthian church. I want to please, again, look at the Corinthian church. The churches in Ephesus, what he did in Ephesus, what he did in Colossians, and what he did in the book of Revelation and Thessalonica. So I'll just go through it, so that when we see these things in our churches, in our local assemblies, you can understand what you are coming against, or what rather is coming against you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, in Second Corinthians 11, Paul had this to write. Amen. This is what he said. He said, verse 12, I'm taking from verse 12 to verse 15. He said, but what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Praise God. I don't know. I want to try and see if I can look at another translation. But I don't want to get myself boxed into that, reading too many translations. Praise the Lord. This is the issue. We read chapter 9. To 12, Paul had to defend his apostolic calling. Paul, incidentally, was the one who started the Corinthian church. He was the one who birthed it, and they got to a place in their lives where they began to doubt the apostleship of Paul and his claims as an apostle. And Paul had to begin to write to them to explain to them his authority and how he came about the authority. And the things they probably saw did not give them the confidence that Saul or Paul was an apostle. And Paul was telling them here that, look, the reason you probably have those problems is that false apostles have come into your midst. Deceitful workers have come into your midst. How did they come in? They transformed themselves. And this is what many of us are so naive about. Many of us assume a lot. When you see a person carrying Bible, you assume that it must be from God. Because he has a crowd following him, you assume it must be from God. When you see him do things that are supernatural, we assume. Forgetting that we have so many examples and warnings in the Bible about such men that the Bible says they are workers of iniquity. It says, verse 14, don't marvel, for Satan himself has transformed himself into an angel of light. And so it's no big deal if his ministers be transformed. Many people are transforming. Many years ago, if I was in the office of a friend of mine, Pastor Omokoro, and he had a friend coming from Benin. And we were talking, and he just, we're just talking, and along the line he said this. He said, there are no witch doctors again in Benin. And I was like, really? Was there a crusade or was there a program or who came there and converted all of them? And he said, no. Nobody converted them. They converted themselves. I said, how? Said, all the witch doctors have become pastors. They are started putting on coats. So when you see in their car, they have a Bible on top of their dashboard, and then the emblem of the occult is there. And they just enter church, and they transfer, and everybody are following them. They make more money that way than... and I was like, really? Hallelujah. People follow them. Interestingly, they follow them. So Paul said that, look, Satan sends people. People are sponsored. People are called. People are anointed. And they are planted in the churches by Satan. Can you recognize them? Now, in Mark 13, verse 20, Jesus warned us. He said, for false Christs, the word Christ means Christos. People carry the anointing. Look, when you say somebody is a Christ, it means that he has a spiritual authority and capacity to effect changes in people's lives. But he said they are false. Praise the God. And false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders, but for one purpose, to seduce, if it were possible, even the very elect. The test of your authority in the realm of darkness as a false Christ and a false prophet, can you sway the elect? Can you deceive the elect? That is how we will know how powerful you are as a false apostle and false prophet. But it's not their fault when the elect themselves are not properly grounded in truth. So this is a reality that will happen. Now, in Matthew 13, in the parable of the tears, Jesus had this to tell us. He told us, I don't know whether we have the time to read about the parable. The Bible says, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tears among the wheat. I'm talking about Matthew 13 from verse 25 to 40. That's where the whole story. I won't be able to go over the whole story. Praise the Lord. But he said this, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tears also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, does not thou sow good seed in thy field? For whereas then arise it tears? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. And the servant said unto him, wilt thou them that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat also into my barn. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says, and then verse 4, all these things speak Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable speak he not unto them. The Bible now told us in verse 37, when they got home, the Bible said, disciples went to please explain the meaning of that parable. And verse 37, he said to them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. So please don't be deceived to assume that everybody that comes to church, don't be deceived that everybody that carries a Bible, don't be deceived by everyone that is on television, don't be deceived by everyone that is on cable network, don't be deceived that every member of CAN and PFN are sons of God or the children of God. Not everyone is a wheat. Many are tears. And those are men that Satan sponsored. He raised, he groomed them and released them into the church. And God permitted it. And that's the reality. We can't change them. We can't remove them. We can't do anything about them. It's going to be like that for the rest of, until the end. Praise God. So when we are talking about the kingdom takes cognizance of the fact that Satan will sponsor people to come and destroy the work. And so you must have spiritual wisdom and understanding to recognize those who are Christ and walk with them, and recognize those who are not Christ and avoid them. Oh, one pastor came to me one day many years ago. He said, "I've noticed you. There's this some ministry in the one ministry like that in Accra that used to do programs. Say, you don't come for their program. You are not walking in love." And he began to accuse me. And I was like looking at him. And when he raged, I said, "Holy Spirit, help me to answer this man." And then I said, "Have you finished?" I said, "Yes. Holy Ghost just gave me this wisdom." I said, "Sir, who is the epitome of love?" He said, "Jesus Christ." I said, "Very good." I said, "How come Jesus was unable to walk in love with the Pharisees? Because if he's the epitome of love, why were they always at loggerheads?" He said, "I did not see it like that." I said, "Because you don't know by fool. You don't know Jack. You're just walking up and down, carrying Bible and thinking you're a Bible teacher. So you don't have a clue about what you're talking about." I said, "Look, what those guys stand for, even though they are preaching and they ever think they are men of God and women of God and they are people of God," I said, "their value system is different from the value system of the kingdom of God. And that's the reason why I can't work with them." He said, "I didn't sit like that." I said, "I'm sorry, sir, but you guys, you just need to be careful. It's not everybody that can be your friend. So you must be discerning. You must be careful who you work with." Paul, even John warned us. Is it John or James? Said, "Don't, when they come, he said, don't bid them farewell. Don't let them come to us. They come to us, don't say goodbye. Because he said, I said, you come partakers of their iniquity. Is that bad?" So why are we in this our time very, very naive about the ways of the enemy we are fighting? We allow people, see, many people, many churches, I was told about this, I'm going to mention names, praise God. I was watching this, I was reading the story of this Joseph Prince, or is this Joseph Prince or Joseph Prince? This Prince. And I was like, where did this guy come from? He just came out from nowhere and he was on cable. And I was like, where is this guy born again? I later learned on that this guy was 5 years after his new birth. 5 years. I don't know how many years I've been born again. 5 years, he became a Jew of a very big Pentecostal something. I think it's in Singapore or where? One of those Asian countries. A church of over 5,000. Rich people. The bad guy, in 5 years, you are still supposed to be in what department? Believer's class. You are just going to believer's class and they will still be sending you errand. We are going and follow up this person. They made him a Jew, which is against the word of God. Said, "Don't make a novice. Don't make him a leader in the body of Christ." They made him a leader. And the guy was just sitting reading books. He just went to college, kind of taking books and began to read it. And he came to me and started preaching error. And because of his charismatic nature and everything, he has bamboozled, he has led many people astray. Oh, you may say he has a good heart, but that's not the issue. That's not the issue. Because men are not discerning. You cannot discern between, can't discern truth from error. Oh, you can say, went to a church and I told people this, "Look, please, if you want to make it and get to the end and finish your race without problem, don't listen to Joseph Priest." They were angry. "I cannot be mentioned. That's your problem. It's not my problem. I've only told you what I know." Praise the Lord. Satan sponsors people. He sponsors people to leadership. And Paul, if you look at Acts of Apostles chapter 20, verses 28 to 30, hear what Paul said. When Paul was leaving Ephesus, it was his final farewell speech. He said, "Take it therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to do what? To feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood." Verse 29 is my emphasis. "For I know this, Praise the Lord. Paul said, I know this. How many of us, how many leaders can say, I know this? What did Paul know? That after my departing, what prevented Satan from being able to send sponsored agents into Paul's church in Ephesus? Because Paul was on guard. Paul was the gatekeeper. It was difficult for any fake guy to enter. Now you will understand what happened in the book of Revelation. When Jesus was commending the church of Ephesus, he said, you have tested them and you have found them to be liars. People claimed to be apostles. They came in carrying apostolic recommendations, carrying all that bigness, I'm an apostle. This, then you have tested them. You found them to be liars. It is in this present church that people have no spiritual common sense. Any idiot can call himself an apostle and you follow him. Have you? Because there is a test for apostles. Then you tested them and you have found them to be liars. How many churches can be like the churches, the church of Ephesus? Why? Because Paul had taken time to teach them. So they can discern, they can judge. They all need to just sit there and listen to you and they say, this guy, you are not born again. My friend, leave the stage. And Jesus commended them that you could judge. I wonder how many churches Jesus can commend. If he was to commend anybody among us, the present churches in Nigeria and America and everywhere, can you look at the president and say, sir, they call you a prophet, but sir, am I being, sir, you are a Sunday school teacher. You are just the best God has. Like, we can discern your calling, your level of calling. You should be a Sunday school teacher. But because the guy has all kinds of packaging, you are following him. The Lord have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Be careful. He says, I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves. Now, some people will come in. Some people are already in. They've entered. They've been quiet. They've been watching. They've been following all of us. They've been learning the language of Zion. They've been learning how to move. They've been learning how to sing the song. They've been learning so many things. He says, for of your own self shall men arise. What will they do? Speaking perverse things. How and why? To draw away disciples after them. When we hear about church splits, church is breaking up and somebody carrying crowd go and that guy is an agent of Lucifer. He had been there, you did not know. So when the time was full, he manifested. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Now, when Paul now began to speak to the church in Colossae, praise God. No, I'm used to the book of Colossians. So, I don't know the village it came from. Hallelujah. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Hear what Paul said. Now, this is how Satan began to wage war against the churches in Colossae. And it was not only the churches in Colossae. Colossae and Laodicea were close apart. So, this letter was written to the churches in Colossae and Laodicea. You remember the letter to the church, the angel of the church in Laodicea. Now, you will know why there was problem there. Because certain people in Laodicea didn't pay attention to the epistle and God, what God was saying to them through Paul. Now, Paul said this, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you. The word conflict means struggle, contention. Paul said he had great contention concerning them, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. And this was a contention. It was contending that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of the Son, Christ, in whom I hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, can you imagine him contending and struggling that they may come into that acknowledgement of that mystery? Something was blocking them coming into that comprehension. Something was resisting them that Paul had to be struggling to get them to understand these things. They did not understand. And said this, look at verse 4. And this I say, let any man should do or beguile you with what? Enticing words. Somebody, satanic emissaries had gained access to these churches and they were bewitching them like they bewitched the Galatians. They were bewitching the churches in Colossae and the churches of Laodicea. They were bewitching them with what? Enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joining and beholding your order and the steadfastness of faith. And in spite of that, and all this enticement, the church of Colossae remained steadfast. And Paul needed to start exhorting, say, be rooted and built up in him. They were not rooted. He was admonishing them, you guys get rooted, because a storm will come. Praise the Lord. So Satan was going to come in like a wind. He was going to come in to shake them off. You don't know why he had to write that scripture in Ephesians. It was because all these people were also in Asia. He said, you be no more children, blown and tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight and the cunningness of men. Praise God. Yeah. Let me digress and say this. Satan does not use anybody. Satan chooses his men, just like God. Well, God, for most of the time, uses different standards to use men. But Satan is very, very particular about people who are naturally gifted. In the garden, the Bible says there was the most subtle animal in the garden was the serpent. It came for him. These were men who had utterance. These were men who had what it takes to speak and to sway men. And so if you're a kind of person who is gifted, be careful. Satan will likely try and perch on your head and adopt you and make you a servant of his and transform you into his minister. The Lord will keep your heart in the name of Jesus. And so the churches in Colossae had these issues, and Paul needed to speak to them and to address them. Now, look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. That's 2 Corinthians that we read. Hear what Paul had to say. He said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. You know what it is to be subtle? To be subtle means, what is mean of subtle? Yeah? It means to be subtle. No, to be subtle. Subtle means to be smart. You are cunning. You are crafty. Okay, look at Logos. But I fear lest perhaps as the serpent deceived Eve by its craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Praise God. So when we look at Christianity, I was listening to some ministers who were telling us that we can levitate. God can, we can believe God, we can walk through wall, we can do all kinds of funny things. And many people were buying into those ideas. And I realized that this is nothing more than satanic trickery, satanic beguiling. Why do you want to walk through a wall? What do you want to prove? Why do you want to levitate? Who do you want to impress? How does that bring glory to God? You want to prove to men that your God too can do what magicians are doing? Something is wrong somewhere. Those messages was not coming from the throne of heaven. It was coming from somewhere else. You must be careful if you're a preacher, what the things you imagine. I read books, and I see people write many things, and I realize this is just their imagination. Look, nothing. I can't blame you if your mind begins to run riot. That's your problem. But please, don't bring it as the word of God. Don't tell people this is what you are believing. No, it's wrong. One came to Akunga and was telling people that the angels wash his plate for him. They wash car for him. And this, all kinds of lies. And the children were, hey. And they're believing God. The angels will be sent to come and wash their plate. Complete error. Be careful. Satan, and I had to call some of the leaders and say, look, we have to shut this guy out of this school before he destroys people's life. People
have opened themselves to occultic, satanic lies. Because, see, Jesus Christ is simple. If there is need for you to disappear from your room and appear in Lagos, like he did for Brother Philip. Philip was not believing God for trans location, whatever it was. He just finished his speech and was going on his way, and the Holy Spirit carried him and landed him somewhere. He didn't pray for it. It was a sovereign operation of God. When Peter walked on water, Peter was not dreaming and said, God can make me walk on water. No. It was a need for that hour that the Lord said, come. You can't come into the realm of the Spirit if you don't bid you come. If you enter that realm without him saying, come, you are into occult. Look at the book of Revelation. It said, the Spirit carried me. You can't carry yourself. You can't will it. Don't be deceived. Said Paul was warning here. Said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Listen, to following God is simple. Don't let us complicate it. Don't complicate it. If Jesus does not bid you come, just be going. Look, if no supernatural thing happens to you in your life, you are not less important to God than Paul that saw the revelations in the Bible. You are not less important to God. Don't let them deceive you. Don't let anybody make you feel small. No way. You are not small at all. You are not less important. Look, don't judge yourself by those things. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, when thieves came, I stood and I rebuked them. And the thieves had gone, so I said, come on in the name of Jesus, get out of this place. And they all fell and ran. Don't copy him. Please, don't do it. If the Spirit of God does not rest on you, don't try it. Don't say, if because my Father desires you, we do it. Look, you will go and wait for us in heaven. By the time they are true with you. I was told by a man of God how some people came to the area in Lagos, and they were assassins. Clearly, they were assassins. They were looking for somebody to kill. Unfortunately for them, the person did not get to the house. So while they were ransacking that, looking for him, the neighbor opposite, who attended his ministry in Lagos, very big, mighty ministry, because they've told them that you cannot die. If they shoot you, no bullet to enter your body. Went out to go and confront the assassins. Said, why are you, what is your problem? They just held him, took him and walked him back into his house, in front of his wife and children, and they blew his head and walked away. The geo that told them that they can blow, can't enter their body. Yeah, it's still alive. Please be very careful. I'm not saying you should not walk by faith, but please, if the Spirit does not bid you come, don't go. Don't go. He has to bid you. He has to convict you. He has to tell you, move. And you have to be sure it's God, not only Satan. Because remember, Satan went to carry Jesus and said, jump. Satan can do it. Amen. So when you also weigh the instruction with the word of God, I like again. Again said, when Jesus tells you one big revelation, you tell Jesus, prove it from the word. Yeah, open Bible and tell me where it is in the Bible. And you have to give me two scriptural references at least to confirm that it is you. So Jesus will have to now open scriptures and be telling him. Praise God. So if a spirit tells you, jump from the cliff, say, what is the scripture? I will give your angels charge over you. You will now tell them, have you not also read that thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God? Are you with me, church? God will help us in the name of Jesus. Yeah. When he came against, when these demons came to the church of Thessalonians, he came via men. Please understand, Satan, you hardly will see him. That does not mean that he doesn't manifest. I've told us, in the place of casting out of demons, the apostles cast out a lot of demons. In their work and in their ministry, as they were moving and preaching the gospel, they were casting out devils. You remember in the book of Acts of Apostles, when it was in when he went to Lystra or so, and one girl, the Bible says the girl brought, that's after talking about chapter 16 of Acts, brought great gain to her master. This girl had the spirit of a python, the spirit of divination, accurate word. She will tell you about your future. And people, and Odenje, the thing was on point. Can't miss. Praise God. And she is seeing Paul, and they are his friends. Began to follow them. Now listen to me. Look, I've been a traveling secretary before. I've been to the north to go and start a job. Fresh work from start, scratch. I was ready to receive anybody that was willing to come to fellowship and join us. Praise God. Interesting, there was a young girl that joined us. It was later we knew that the person we were dealing with was no small fry. One tiny little girl like that. But she was loaded with demons. Plenty of demons. We fought her to a standstill. We got to the point where she could not. She had to take a decision whether she would give her life to Jesus and we cast out the remaining devils, or she would go. You know, and she couldn't leave. She was the first. That was the time I heard. She told us interesting stories. I don't have the time to go over that today. But one that was very, very. There was a pointer that I knew I was dealing with a demon possessed person. She didn't give her life to Jesus, but I knew we were dealing with something. We spoke to her about Jesus, and after the discussion, I saw her about a few days after, and I asked her, you made a promise you'll come to fellowship and you didn't come. Yeah, I said, when you were talking to me, I began to have a dick. I began to have a dick. What kind of a dick? I now called her, yeah. Sit down. I was a copper. Tell me more. So I began to speak to her, and I was speaking to her the way she was responding. I knew that this is not an ordinary girl. It was much later I learned. She told me. I tell the truth, I lie not in the spirit. I lie not in the Lord. I've never seen a girl like that girl. She had no blemish on her skin. No blemish anywhere. She girl, light in complexion, pretty. No blemish. And she told me, said, you see me? You see my body? I said, yes. He said, she now gave me a particular time. He said, it's been that she hardly eats normal food that we eat. Then how are you sustained? Said, I drink blood. I said, really? I was like, oh, sure. She told me all kinds of crazy stories. It was her mother that she used to tell me that they used to go and relay vehicles on the road. When you see some accidents, I say, this accident, how did it happen? It's occultic. They turn the vehicle. So when the vehicle is coming, they are waiting, they are in ambush. Said, if there is a fire burning around that vehicle, they say they know a child of God is in that vehicle. They will let the vehicle pass. So when the vehicle comes and there's no fire, they know that these people are Siri. They turn the vehicle. So people will die. It is in that, I don't know how they collect it. I'm not part of them. Say they collect the blood and they go and do communion service and they eat. And in the physical, they are okay. I don't know. So that's why he that thinketh his stand, take heed, lest he falls. A wood day. Eh? Only a wood and a farm of Lunge. Is even Lunge himself going is a So, what are we talking about? Please, we need to be careful, brethren. Where we are doing. It's not out of place if you pray before you travel. It's nothing wrong. And ask the angel of the Lord to go with you. Hallelujah. So, what was I saying before we got there? Paul. So the girl followed Paul for days, and suddenly the spirit with Paul revolted, and Paul turned around and said, "You foul spirit, come out of her in the name of Jesus." And that's how the spirit left, and the girl had no capacity again to prophesy. He cast out that spirit of divination. If that girl was a member of our modern churches, I can bet you that girl will become a prophetess. Nobody will discern her. Nobody. And she will mess up many people. You will see it as we go into the scriptures later on. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Wrong spirit. Can't discern people. Do you know that the K&S, when the church started in the 1900s, they were the first Pentecostal church in this nation? When the Azusa Revival was breaking out in America, it also broke out here in Nigeria without any connection. There was no connection with Orimoloye, Orimaladi, I beg your pardon, and the Azusa something.
he encountered the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the man was powerful. But what destroyed the work? These Python spirit guys entered him and spoilt that work. And if you see the KNS today, is a complete shadow of the reality it started with. The plague that attacked Nigeria in 1912, it was recorded that members of the KNS were going from house to house praying for the sick, and the sick were recovering. They didn't write that. You didn't read about that. But that was truth. It's documented. I don't know why we don't do history again. That's why we are completely ignoramus in our nation. Because we don't know. They were praying for the sick and people were recovering. That was how powerful that move was. Before the CAC church came and all that, and they came on the platform of that work that man did. So, what are we talking about? We as a church must be vigilant that we don't let the wrong persons come and become leaders in the church. We must judge. John said, test every spirit. We must be discerning and we must test. It's not being nice or being... You can't do this work by nice. This warfare is not about nice guys. We're not doing nice. This is a matter of life or death. We must be vigilant. Praise the Lord. So to the church in Thessalonians, Paul wrote this. He says, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. I mean 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 4 and 5, please. So even as it came to pass, you know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I said to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter I have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. See, not everybody, let me tell the truth, not everybody that left for home during this COVID will come back normal. Some may not come back. I'm not deceiving myself. But that's why I have to pray. And we have to keep checking people up. Paul said he had to send Timothy and some other people to go and check them up, lest they have labored in vain. Because Satan will go behind you and go and tempt them at home. When you are not there. When you don't have, they are not under the cover of your influence. It will go behind you and go and do that work. And so we cannot abandon our brethren that are at home. I expect those of us who are here to keep calling them and keep encouraging them and keep talking to them and be careful to discern if there is any slight in the place of discussion. The thing that is hidden in the heart will open and you will sense something is not right here. And that is a clue to you to begin to deal with the work of the enemy. Satan would have gone there to plant some, he should not plant. You know, I jokingly tell people when they come back from home, I say, I have to scan you to be sure that you have no virus. Satan plants virus. You know, virus of unbelief, love of the world, and all those things, he plants it there. Be careful lest it plants into your heart. God will help us in Jesus' name. And Paul now went on to tell us again, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, how Satan also began to attack them in another dimension. Remember, he was tempting them when Paul was not there. Now, why Paul was not there, apart from tempting them, he was confusing them. The same Satan, the same church. And this was how Paul addressed it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. How were they being deceived? Well, certain people claimed that they got a letter from Paul. Certain people claim that they were in Paul's meeting. Certain people claim that they have had Paul give them instruction to come and teach these things. It was 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, certain people went for a program in Lagos and came back to Akumba. And they began to teach that we are not yet saved. Until your soul is saved, you are not yet saved. And I said,
Is it not the same meeting I attended that you guys are coming to home and be preaching this kind of rubbish? They were going to scatter the old school. I had to summon all of them that was preaching that thing. I said, if I hear crime again in your mouth, I will descend on all of you. I called the president. Said, and you sat down here and you allowing these people preach all this rubbish inside the fellowship. I said, if you don't take your place and call them to order, fine, I don't want to see them hang the microphone again. That's how that thing died. It'd have gone like wildfire. If it was in Ado Exu, I don't know where to preach there. They were preaching about the revelation, and people began to get revelation. One went to meet a sister, and was proposing to her in tongues. Le proposal, and there were all kinds of crazy things. People were sleeping with one another because under the guise of revelation, under the guise of the Lord is leading me. And that spirit began to destroy, and nobody could bring judgment and stop it. And it destroyed people's lives. So we must be careful. We must be careful. Very, very careful. Satan sponsored people. Paul didn't send them. He said, don't let anybody deceive you that I wrote you a letter. I didn't write you any letter. There was nothing like that. And he began to put the truth in place. Hallelujah. Now, let us now please look at Timothy. How many minutes do I have? My God. How many minutes have I?
10, sir.
10 minutes. 10, sir. Praise God. Okay. Can I borrow 10 minutes more?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Shedmoss has gone ahead to borrow me 10 minutes on your behalf. Yes, sir. Amen. It's First Timothy chapter 6. You know the scriptures. Paul was writing to Timothy and was warning him. These were satanic operations that Timothy was going to come up against. And this is what he said. He said, if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Please, this is how you know people that were not sent. This is how you know people, when I say sent, I mean by God, or representing the interests of the kingdom. They are in the churches. One, they will teach otherwise. Two, they will not consent to wholesome words. That means words that are, they have common sense. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody was saying that Paul, he doesn't believe in the epistles of Paul and the other apostles. That the only one he believes in. He doesn't believe in the Old Testament. He only believes in the gospel. That is the word of Jesus. Forgetting that those words of Jesus were recorded by men. After Jesus had risen and he had gone. Years after. Said something years after Jesus had risen. They began to pen down the things he said. Those are the things he said he believes in. Every other thing that in the Bible he doesn't believe in. You can begin to see somebody who is not, who does not consent to wholesome words. And the doctrine which is according to godliness. What is godliness? It means you are like God. Those things that propagate the nature of God. Praise God. He says he is proud. I know pride is the nature of the devil. He knows nothing, ignorance. But he goes about questions and strives of words. There's somebody like that used to ask us questions. When you answer the question, it's coming up another question. Just striving with words. Wherefore commit what? Envy, strife, railings, evil surmising. The word evil surmising means, what is the name of evil surmising? Evil surmising. What is evil surmising? I'm trying to get the translation though. But you know what evil surmising means? Hallelujah. You shall know. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. You listen to them on cable network, they assume that gain is godliness. Say, but godliness. He said, this is his advice. From such, what should you do? Withdraw yourself. You withdraw yourself. You withdraw yourself. From such, withdraw. When you see them, you can't continue fellowship. You cannot. It will be, you will not be helping your soul if you continue to see these kind of people. Over time, like the Yoruba say, ti ewe ba pe lara ose adose. If goat should walk with dog, over time the goat will start eating feces. It's natural. Bible says withdraw from such. Praise God. So we have to be careful. Now, let me jump to James, because I have very limited time. I want to, my desire is to get and finish everything I have in mind this week and start something else next week. Praise God. James chapter 3. I want to show you another battle or warfare that we are going to face. These testimonies are all over the scriptures, but I'm just showing you snapshots of them so that you can recognize it when those things begin to happen around you. In James was writing, Paul chapter 3 verses 13 to 18. This was what James said. He said, who is the wise man and endued with knowledge among you? So let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strive in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now please pay attention. It says, if you have bitter envy, you strive, you fight in your heart. Now, physically you may not be fighting. Physically you may be cool, but in your heart there is strife. You are not happy. You don't like what's going on around you. You are not reacting well. This is what James calls it. He says in verse 15, this wisdom. He calls it wisdom. This is wisdom. Your disposition, your reaction to a particular circumstance, he says, this wisdom. What we are seeing is bitter envy. What we are seeing is strife. Praise God. What we are seeing is a bad conversation. He says, this wisdom does not descend from above. This wisdom is earthly, is sensual, is devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Where you find envy, when you find strife, he said there's going to be confusion. And that means you have lent yourself out to Satan. Because you have given him access to your heart. Just like the serpent gave him access to his own heart. And he used it to bring down Adam and Eve. And so when you see and you are noticing envy, you are noticing strife, you are noticing hatred. Paul was writing to the Hebrews. He said you should be careful about bitterness. He said bitterness defiles people. It knocks you off your feet. It disqualifies you as a candidate of God's kingdom. Once Satan can introduce all these virtues, or is it virtue, or vices, I beg your pardon, into your heart, you are demobilized. It's game over. You've been captured. And so, James said this is a wisdom. So we are fighting essentially again against wisdom. Remember, the Bible speaks in Ephesians chapter 6. It says we should take on the whole armor so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. These are the manifestation of his wiles. Strife, envy, greed, and all those things they call works of the flesh. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to jump. Now, 1 John chapter 4, you know it, in verses 1 to 6. John told us, said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. If you have listened to me and you are paying attention, you will see that that there are a lot of warnings against falsehood. So many warnings. So many warnings. We've been warned. But yet, I don't understand how people keep getting captured by the enemy. Say, try the spirits. Listen to me. Because God used a person to speak and give you a word yesterday does not mean he is in the spirit today. Keep trying the spirits. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, let me go. Let me round up. I have just let me hope I can do this in 10 minutes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I hope you are following me.
Yes,
what am I trying to do? I'm trying to let you see how Satan fights us at the level of the church. The kind of challenges we face as a church. The things he does. Most of the time, what we see are people. What we see is somebody just misbehaving in the church. I can't understand why Brother Lagbaja is behaving like this. It's a spirit that is working. And when we recognize this, we should know what we need to do. You take on the whole armor and wrestle him down. Wrestle that spirit out of him. Like one man of God said, that when I don't know whether it was the church, he said, if they get you, you went to fornicate. And he said, it is Satan. He said, Satan pulled down your zipper. Was it the one that pulled down your zipper? Was it on your hand that you used to pulling it down? He said, lie him down. Let us skin him. We drive that demon out of him. We came. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes we need to do that. But not all demons can come out like that. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now let us look at Jesus' response to the churches in Asia. I want us to pick 1, 2, 3, 4. Just 4 churches out of 7. Let us look at 4. And then we'll round up. Praise God. Please pay attention. Revelation chapter 2 verses 8 to 10. The first church is the church of Smyrna. Smyrna, yeah. One of the churches. The verse says, this thing saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Verse 9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. I don't know how, I guess these guys must have lived in Akure. Praise God. They had works, they had tribulation, they had poverty. The prosperity preachers won't prosper in this kind of place. They won't come to this kind of church. Because this is the church, this kind of church can spoil their testimonies. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But that was the reality. But Jesus said, but thou art rich. What made them rich? He says, I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not. But they are what? Of the synagogue of Satan. What were these guys doing? These were Jews who were putting them down. I don't know whether you have been in a place where people put you down. You hear minister said, if you are not rich, if you are poor, Satan is, you are not serving God. Our God is a rich God. And like one woman was on cable network. Was it cable network? She came on and said, if you're a woman and you cannot give your husband 1 million naira, I'm sorry for you. You have not come to this life. A woman give her husband 1 million. Where will she get 1 million? She'll go and steal. When she was growing up in the ministry, could she afford 10,000 for her husband? People forget where they are coming from. And they make boasts. And they boast as if the heavens are theirs. Please be careful. So they have the synagogue of Satan. They have been blaspheming. They have been saying all kinds of rubbish. They've been putting you down. They've been telling you that you had. You know, that was. Remember what Paul told Timothy? He said they think that godliness is same thing as riches. That when you are rich, that means you are godly. That is not necessarily true. So these guys were under serious persecution. They were under serious pressure. Are you a believer and you are not working? You have been believing God for work for years and you are not getting very good jobs. You know, people will look at you and say, and you say you serve God. Where is your God? You are not serving God. If you are serving God, God have got you a job. Or by now you should have been married. You are already 40. Where is the God you say you serve? May the world not say that to us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But if they have to say it, are you prepared to keep your testimony? Say, fear none of these things, thou shalt suffer. Say, behold, Satan, the devil shall even go forward. He shall cast some of you into prison. It was bad enough that they had tribulation and poverty. He said, these people will go further to cast you into prison. Nothing, the Bible says, oppression maketh a wise man mad. When I heard the billions they said they spend on COVID patients, I was mad. I had to just sit down and go and look for one cartoon or something to watch because I could not afford to vent the emotion that was welling up in my heart. I just had to walk away. Compression really makes a man mad. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Say they will cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. But God said, be faithful unto death. Jesus said, but to death, this one will be to death. They will try you by putting you to death. Say, but stay faithful. Don't give up. Praise God. Now, to the church in Pergamos, that's chapter 2, verses 12 to 15. This is here, he which had the sharp sword in his, with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. See, these people in Semnia were in a place where guys are the synagogue of Satan. In Pergamos, they were in the same place that Satan had his headquarters. Okay. That's where they were staying. He said, thou held fast my name, and you have not denied my faith. Even in the days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, they had killed their brother Antipas. Satan was threatening to kill the rest of them. So when you talk about Boko Haram killing that camp president, you say, he has fought his own. It was like Antipas. More people are being threatened. That is still you are seeing the work of Satan. When you see the Muslims gang up and say they want to kill somebody because the guy carried the Quran one way, these are demonic operations going on before us. And we should recognize it. Praise the Lord. But verse 14 says, but I have few things against thee, because thou art there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Can you believe a church that was in the location where Satan's seat was, and they were being persecuted, and they were being killed, yet some of them were holding on to the doctrine of Balaam. And what did Balaam do? He said, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication? These guys were leaders. They were ordinary brethren. They were leaders. They were teaching people doctrines that was against godliness. They were casting stumbling blocks before the children of Israel. Now I can teach you how to cast a stumbling block. I can ask you not to be forgiving people. Or I can ask you, look, there's nothing wrong with miniskirt. You wear miniskirt, brothers see you, and lust is generated in their heart. And many of them trip. That is teaching people to cast stumbling block. There are so many of it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I can teach you that if you eat, look, if they bring anything, I will eat. We forget it. He taught them how to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Then about fornication, listen. My spirit is saved. See, you are hearing that. You have heard that doctrine before. My spirit is saved. If I commit fornication, I'm okay. Nothing can happen to me. It's the same spirit too. That same spirit. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The last one, the church in Thyatira. Verse 19. I know thy works and charity, and service and faith, and thy patience and thy works. The last will be more than the first. 20. Notwithstanding, I have few things against thee, because thou suffered that woman Jezebel. We collect ourselves a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Do we have leaders in the church that we are tolerating? Satan planted this woman called Jezebel. He called herself a prophetess and she came in and began to teach error. And nobody could stand up in the church and drive her out. He said she started the church. She's the wife of the Jew. She's a Jezebel. The husband is an Ahab. Why are you still there? What are you doing there? It's a dangerous spirit. Ahab and Jezebel. They're terrible spirits. If you see Jezebel, you will see Ahab. They always operate together. Absorbing authority and leading people astray. Let me close with the church in Laodicea. Chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. What was the problem with Laodicea? The spirit of lukewarmness. There are different kinds of spirits that afflict us. For the Laodiceans was lukewarmness. For some it is greed. For some it is love for money. For some, all kinds of funny things. You see it in the churches. You quickly see that trait in there. The trait of a spirit. The lack of godliness. Very, very, very vain. You know, there are churches that are vain. People come to church, just come and show up their dresses. They won't come during the week. They will come on Sunday. And they will come. But as they are walking from the back of the church to the front, they are behind their eyes. And the perfume will be going out like anointing oil. Very vain. If you as a church or a leader do not judge those spirits, they will destroy the church. So I would trust God that God will help us, even in PGT and other places, that we'll be mindful of these wrong and dangerous influences, that we must judge these things in our midst, that they must not take root. These spirits are trying, they will come through people. One person will introduce it. You must recognize it and judge it so that it can be pushed out. We must not let anything like uncleanness enter our midst. And God will keep and preserve us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Once again, I want to thank the Lord for helping us. If you have questions, before we pray, you know, before 6 o'clock, before we pray, please, you can either signify and we will unmute you, or you type it and then we will take it. In the event there is none, we will just pray and we'll go. God bless you.
Amen. When we're growing up in faith, we used to hear the word claim something with a man of God. We said, okay, take this, repeat after me, and we are claiming it. You need a vehicle, so I claim it. Is it, I think it's a wrong idea or a wrong thought, claiming things that you are not convinced about. Because we are saying something about confession and something like conviction. You have to be convicted.
That was Sunday message, not today. I didn't mention convicted this afternoon. Did I mention it about conviction? That was Sunday's message. You all of you are here now. Did I mention anything about that? So, no, I don't think I. But the question, Sha, the valid question.
Is it wrong to?
What is wrong?
To confess or making claims on what the man of God says. Man of God says, okay, you have. Okay, let me give an example. Someone brought a car to the church, and the man of God was saying that, okay, this car, someone gave it to me. You can make a claim. Claim whatever you like, make a claim on it, and then you will have it.
Well, the question you're asking, Mommy, is different. It's actually not within the confines of this teaching. Yeah, it's not the confines, but it's just a general. It's just another general thing. I don't know. It will be alien to those of us in BGT, because I don't think I've led us in that area where you just say, yeah, go and claim your shoe, go and claim your leg, go and claim your car. You know, it's not a practice. And now, I haven't been in that Pentecostal system, and I'm not teaching it or practicing it. It's a, at least as far as I'm concerned, it's something I don't believe in. I don't think it's right for you to tell people to claim. Now, when we start talking about kingdom principles for prosperity, you know why that is not right. There's something that, see, in the early 90s, up till now, the leaders have developed a church system that is, the foundation is greed. That's what's driving many of these things. That's not faith. It's basically greed, you know. And the man that said that he brought a jeep and selling people to be claiming jeep for goodness sake, how does that help their work with God? How does that make him a child of heaven? You remember that Jesus Christ talked about the Pharisees who traverse land and sea and make a proselyte twice a child of hell than they. There's no godliness. I don't know how good that is godly. No. The man that got the car, was he claiming when the car came? He said the Elijah was impressed with his ministry, and the Elijah gave him a jeep. And you're now asking me to be claiming. Was that how he got it? There was a time before Obasanjo came, that was where we have breakthrough program, breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Everybody having breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. When Obasanjo came, now this is how breakthrough work. And there was basically lawlessness. People in the civil service had access to contracts and everything. You just walk into one office, I've been looking for you. There's this contract that I want to do. It's about 20 million. Go and write. You collect, you come to church, and I have a breakthrough. Okay. When Obasanjo came, he said things in order. If you don't have tax clearance, by the time you read the requirement, that is our breakthrough. After Obasanjo, have you heard about breakthrough services again? The thing died. Because it was just basic lawlessness that we were leveraging over. Real business people now have to work hard to have a breakthrough. Praise God. Now it's even more difficult to even have a breakthrough if you are not in their cult. They won't give you the money. They won't give you the breakthrough. So now the church has to now learn how to make it economically and financially by God's methods, or we die in poverty. Now let me tell you, not all of us will get that Laodicean church that were rich. We saw the other churches that they were poor, but Jesus Christ said they were rich. But naturally, they were poor. When Paul was writing about the church of Macedonia, they said they were poor, but they gave out of their poverty. So, if you are not able to have the millions like Dangote, please don't kill yourself. Don't go about telling God that why did you make my own like this? That's not right. Don't let greed drive your heart. There's nothing wrong in seeking God and asking God, give me a breakthrough, give me an idea, open the doors for me. Because he promised that if you will honor him in your offerings and your tithe, he promised to open the windows of heaven. So let us hang on those promises and trust God for it. And tomorrow will be better for us in Jesus' name.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.